Most people believe that the Earth is millions of years old, yet the Bible seems to indicate that the world is much, much younger. Does science contradict the Bible? And which do you believe? And do you know why? Stay tuned.
The facts of real science are quite different. Real science is very strongly in favor of Scripture.
This is Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal. I'm Chris O'Brien with the Institute for Creation Research. For many years, Christians have been intimidated into believing that the Earth is millions, even billions of years old. In an attempt to trust the Bible and science, Christians have tried to blend these two worldviews. This has taken such forms as the gap theory, or believing that the days in Genesis are actually long ages. But what if the Bible really means that the days were literal? And what if science was in direct harmony with the scriptural account? Well, as a matter of fact, most of the physical evidence does show the Earth to be young. However, evolutionists use radioisotope dating to disprove the ages of the Bible. And their attack has been quite effective. Many Christians have left behind their faith in a young Earth. To combat this roadblock for the Christian faith, an international team of scientists has come together to destroy the fallacy that radioisotope dating contradicts the literal understanding of Genesis. Join us for the next 15 minutes as we hear from members of this research group and about their latest discoveries. We think it will build your faith. Six scientists have come together to form the RATE Task Force. RATE is an acronym for Radioisotopes and the Age of the Earth. The team met in San Diego this past June for its fourth annual meeting to complete the final draft of its new research book, Radioisotopes and the Age of the Earth. Let's get started. Dr. Larry Vardaman is an atmospheric scientist at the Institute for Creation Research and the project leader for RATE.
The age of the Earth stands out as one of the most important issues among Christians today. An old Earth interpretation clouds our view on the accuracy of Scripture. It supports the theory of evolution. It affects our perception of God. If Scripture can't be trusted on the age of the Earth, how can it be trusted on others? But have we been misled about the reliability of radioactive dating methods? The RATE group believes we have. The RATE group, consisting of six young Earth creationist geologists, geochemists, and physicists, is cooperating to research the issue of radioisotopes and the age of the Earth. They have dared to ask the tough questions and are searching for an alternative explanation for the billions of years found in rocks.
Although most of us are familiar with the fact that rocks can be dated, not all of us understand that process. This dating process is based on measuring the speed at which a radioactive element decays inside of a rock. Dr. Vardaman.
Well, basically, radioisotope dating is looking at the parent isotope, which might be uranium, for example, which spontaneously decays into daughter products and eventually ends up as lead and helium. Those are the final daughter products, lead and helium. And it started out as uranium. Now, only a portion of the uranium decays like that at any one moment. So by looking at a chunk of rock which has some uranium in it and some lead in it, if you make certain assumptions, you can estimate how long the rock has been decaying. And the typical assumption that's made by conventional scientists is that there was no lead there to start with. And you can measure the rate at which the uranium is decaying into lead. And then by measuring the amount of uranium that's there and the amount of lead that's there, and knowing how fast it converts from one to the other, you can estimate how long it's been doing that. Of course, you can only make the assumption that it was all uranium to start with, and then there was no lead to start with. And you can also, you're also only making the assumption about how fast that decay process has been going on. It's valid to do that now, but in the past it may have occurred faster.
Dr. John Baumgartner is a geophysicist with the RATE Task Force.
Creationists for a long time have been pointing to a number of non-radiometric indicators that the Earth is much younger than the billions of years that evolutionists have contended for so long. And some of these non-radiometric indicators are things like the rapid uplift of the mountains around the world, or the rapid erosion rates, or the rapid addition of chemical components to the oceans. All of these indicate that the Earth is dramatically younger than what radiometric methods would indicate.
So what is the RATE team finding? Dr. Andrew Snelling.
It's been known now for several decades that young volcanic rocks on ocean islands give results of millions of years when they're just recently erupted. And what the scientific community has realised is that these lavas actually come from deep inside the Earth in the Earth's mantle. So the radioisotope ratios in these rocks, they don't interpret in terms of ages, they interpret in terms of the mantle source area from which the lavas came. In other words, these radioisotopes could be simply geochemical fingerprints of the source areas of the rocks. We've got these initial ratios at creation, and since that time, geological processes, you know, volcanic eruptions, sedimentation, stirring inside the Earth's mantle due to tectonic processes such as catastrophic plate tectonics during the flood, has stirred up these ratios so that the initial inherited ratios, which go back to creation, have now been mixed and stirred and have given us now this assortment of results which have been interpreted in terms of millions of years.
Dr. Baumgartner.
At our last RATE meeting held in early June of 2000, I came away extremely excited with an awareness of yet another indicator that something is seriously wrong with the assumptions of radiometric dating. The key piece of information has to do with the absence or apparent absence, as far as we can determine, of radio halos from uranium and thorium in flood-aged rocks.
So what is a radio halo?
I view a radio halo is something like a fossil. It represents a tangible, visible evidence of nuclear decay. It turns out that in rocks like granite, most of the uranium and thorium, they decay by emitting what are called alpha particles. That alpha particle has very high energy and blast out of the zircon mineral like a bullet. And so they create a spherical pattern of damage around the inclusion. And if you happen to cut through this sphere of damage, you end up with a circle of discoloration. And this circular pattern is known as a halo or a radio halo. And As a uranium decays, as it goes from uranium to lead, there are 8 alpha particles emitted in the process, and each one of these alpha emissions has a different energy. So that produces a ring or a sphere of damage with a different diameter, and so you typically have multiple rings around the central inclusion, and By measuring the diameter of the rings, it's possible to determine which element it was that decayed to produce that ring of damage.
And these radio halos seem to be missing from rocks that are thought to be laid down during the worldwide flood.
As far as I'm aware, there's no published report in the refereed literature of any uranium or thorium halo in igneous rocks associated with flood sediments, with fossiliferous sediments. And this is a major issue, because uranium and thorium halos should easily form within 100 million years if that much time has truly elapsed.
Dr. Russ Humphreys is a physicist at Sandia National Laboratories and a member of the RATE research team.
We're also working on another item of research, which is the amount of helium that's kept within tiny crystals in granite. Helium is produced by radioactive decay. When you have uranium decaying down through many stages into lead, you get helium atoms produced as it does so. You may have heard of the alpha particles. Those are the nuclei of helium atoms. So when the alpha particles are emitted during radioactive decay, you get helium. And the amount of helium that's in these little radioactive crystals, it has been shown, is a very large percentage of the total that would be produced within billions of years. However, the helium would leave the tiny little crystals after only thousands of years. So they're almost direct evidence for billions of years worth of decay taking place within thousands of years ago. And we think the thousands of years ago would be during creation week and during the Genesis flood.
So what does it mean that radioactive decay might have been faster in the past? Dr. Humphreys.
We mean that the rates of decay are very slow now for many types of atoms, but we think that they were speeded up by God during the Genesis flood and speeded up during the first couple of days of creation week when there were no living things on the earth to be affected by the radiation. And there are some scriptural hints that he speeded up radioactive decay. And then we also have tangible physical evidence that radioactive decay rates were much higher within thousands of years ago.
Today, we've presented a small taste of the research that's being done by RATE. But they're just beginning. There are many questions still left to answer. Why don't dating methods agree? Is radioactive decay consistent? And what about those radio halos? Dr. Vardaman.
These and many other questions are addressed in this book that we're publishing called Radioisotopes and the Age of the Earth. The book sets the stage for their 5-year research initiative. A second book is scheduled for the end of the research phase in 2005 to report on their findings.
So what does this mean for Christians? Well, according to Dr. Humphreys,
most Christians deep down inside are deeply worried that science has somehow contradicted Scripture. And what I'd like to get across to them is that the facts of real science are quite different. Real science is very strongly in favor of Scripture.
Dr. Snelling.
The radioisotope ratios in the rocks correctly interpreted with a better model that explains more of the data, the evidence will eventually be seen to be consistent with what the Bible teaches. And that's exciting. Yes, it's a bold initiative. We're taking risks, but risks are worth taking if it means that we're going to remove stumbling blocks to accepting what the Bible teaches about creation, what the Bible teaches about the flood. If they get over those stumbling blocks, then they'll be prepared to listen to the Bible, what it says about our future, about our salvation, about the good news about Jesus Christ coming to die for each one of us. And that's the bottom line.
We hope today's program was a reminder that God's Word can be trusted and that it fits with true science. One of our topics today was radio halos. If you'd like more information on this subject, we have a free article written by Dr. Snelling. Just ask for Impact Article Number 326 when you get in touch with ICR. To ask for today's free offer, please call toll-free 1-800-7-GENESIS. That's 1-800-7 and the word Genesis. And you can address your letters to ICR at P.O. Box 2667, El Cajon, California, 92021. If there's a topic you would like us to cover on the program, then email us at radio@icr.org. ICR's website address is www.icr.org. Science, Scripture, and Salvation, a Creation Radio Journal, is a production of ICR. For the Institute for Creation Research, I'm Chris O'Brien. Thanks for tuning in.